Acts 9. I want to release our kids ages, children ages 4 to 6.
For Children's Church, you can go with Ms. Rose in the back. As you can see, we are continuing with Acts 9, and we're going to learn about Barnabas Sunday School.
How did he do that? I didn't know you could throw your voice. Wow. I don't know how to follow that up. Maybe with a great story from the scriptures, that will help. Let me just say that you, those of you who have been here the past few weeks, you may have noticed that we have sort of a series within a series. We've looked at Acts chapter 9 in terms of focusing on, and the early part of chapter 9 says that these folks who were Jesus followers were also known as those belonging to the way. So we're not going to continue to refer to the church as the way all the way through, because of course it grew and it changed as it goes along. But we've looked at the way now from Saul's point of view, as how do you start on the way, and from Ananias, and how do you continue on the way, and how do you function on the way. So we've got one more example, and we're going to pick that up at verse 26. The same story. Think about the rest of Acts chapter 9 as we pick it up. The Jews are trying to kill Saul. They helped him escape. We don't have a rope around our house. I mean, I don't know if anybody has a rope, that if somebody was in trouble, you could let them out of a window with a rope. But they had one somehow, and they let Saul out of the city without being noticed. Those who were plotting to kill him did not get away with it. So that's where we pick it up at verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Well, as I said, we've been considering this idea, this description of the New Testament followers of the way, or belonging to the way. The church, as I said earlier, is now about 5 years past Resurrection Day, and it continues to grow and change, and there are many important things we can learn and even apply to our modern church from what we learn about the church in Acts, in the book of Acts. Here is Barnabas. You remember he was earlier introduced to us as, I've forgotten his name, Joseph, from Crete, or Cyprus. It was Cyprus. And he sold some property and gave it to the church. And there we learn that the church calls him Barnabas. And I think we probably said then, that's because the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And in the original language, it doesn't mean just a son of encouragement, but a champion of encouragement. He's a powerful encourager. He is the best encourager we've ever met. He is so good at it that they actually send him places where there's trouble so that he can encourage them. And we'll see more of that in a bit. He lived up to his name. He didn't, as I said, he didn't always go by that name. But he was part of the church from the earliest days. He was probably one of the 120 believers in the upper room at Pentecost. Joseph was his name, from Cyprus. And although we don't know, it would be very interesting to learn how a Levite from Cyprus comes to be a believer and central to the life of the church, how he comes to own enough property to be able to sell it and give a huge amount of money to the early church. But we don't know that story. We don't know those details. So let's look at what we do know.
Barnabas later became a prophet, Acts 13:1. He was a close friend, as we begin to see in this text, and he became a co-worker of Paul, although he's still, at this point, it's called Saul. We'll note that again when we see the change. It's kind of a subtle change. Suddenly, the beginning of a chapter, he's called Saul, and later in the chapter, he's called Paul. We don't know much about that exchange either. We just know that it happened. We know stories about Paul and Barnabas there at his side. In fact, I would say it's tricky, but you might want to notice that for sometimes they are called Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul. And that change comes almost without notice as well when it becomes Paul and Barnabas. We're kind of more used to that because after the change, that's how it was referred to, Barnabas and Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas. Other people worked with him. And that means, by the way, that early on, Barnabas was the lead pastor. We might say here at Faith Church, he was the senior pastor. Not more important, but then there's sort of a position of leadership there. And Barnabas had that position of leadership until later it transferred over to Paul. Barnabas is later called an apostle in chapter 14, verse 14, in the amazing story of the ministry at Lystra and Derbe. We don't know. Here's another thing I'm curious about. I'm curious about a lot of these details we don't get to know. How did Barnabas escape the near-fatal beating that Paul received there in that story? When many believed the gospel in Antioch in Acts 11:22 through 29, as I mentioned earlier, Barnabas was sent there. This is a new church, a new explosion of the church in a kind of faraway city. I didn't bring a map this morning, but he was sent to Antioch, and he encouraged the new believers in their faith. Maybe I do have it. Oh, what I do have, I don't have the map. But there it was said of him, and we have the text here in the next slide, in Acts 11:24 through 26. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul, there's an example, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So Barnabas' encouragement, Barnabas says, whoa, there's a really lot of ministry here. Aha! I don't know if he said aha literally, but he thought, I'm going to go find Saul. Saul's off in Tarsus. He's recouping, he's refreshing, he's growing in the faith. He went to Tarsus, found Saul, brought him back to Antioch, and there together they created a community that became what we also are called to this very day, Christians. So they were powerful pastors, teachers. Later, following the story of Agabus, he's not very well known, but we'll see that later, he made a prophecy of a severe famine, and gifts that were collected were sent to the elders in Judea by Barnabas and Saul. They were trusted to give a large amount of money to disaster relief, we might call it today. So there are many stories of Barnabas on the way. Here in this chapter, when Saul, later called Paul, in Acts 13:9, got back to Damascus, the time was right for him to go to Jerusalem and share his faith with the apostles, with the believers. That was the headquarters of the new church. No doubt the believers were as frightened of Paul as those in Damascus had been. I dramatically explained that. This man would have been terrifying to them. They would have been very afraid of Saul, and they should be. The rumors that he had changed were likely difficult to believe. I mean, you know, some things we can say, oh, that's cool that changed. This is a nice change. But some things we just don't think can change. Some changes are too huge for our minds to understand. This is that kind of a change. They didn't believe the one who had persecuted so hatefully and effectively was now a fellow believer. But, says chapter 9, verse 27, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Keep in mind that this book of Acts wasn't written down. It was written down later. It is actually written down after the very last events of the book of Acts, in Acts 28. So they wouldn't have been able to say, oh, well, look at the story there and earlier in the book of Acts. They had to relay that information to them. But if you're like at all like me, you would wonder, how did Barnabas know that? Barnabas wasn't in Damascus. Ananias was there. How did Barnabas know all this? Now, I can't prove it, but I have a really good guess, okay? And that is that he probably had more than hearsay. Although he would have talked with others who knew of these events. Barnabas may be the source of this information that Dr. Luke wrote down in the book of Acts. But they had conversations with each other. It is extremely likely that this man, known as the greatest of great encouragers, went to Paul to find out for himself. To Saul. He's still known as Saul for another few chapters. While the church in Jerusalem resisted Saul, Barnabas acted as a reconciler. One of the many things that I referred to earlier, when we hear God's word and put it into practice, one of those things is be reconcilers. Reconcile one to another. Reconcile each other when you have problems. Barnabas took that and many other things very, very seriously. Reconciliation is an important part of our Lord's message and ministry. It's important for us when we encounter disappointment or discouragement or disagreements. We can presume we're called to be reconcilers. We should practice, we should plan to reconcile people when there are problems. Have you ever noticed Christians acting in a way that suggests that they may be skipping or omitting part of God's word? Here, Barnabas most likely went right to Saul, encouraged him in his new relationship, got the facts for himself, and probably passed along the information to Dr. Luke so that it could be written here in this scripture for us. Barnabas' love for Jesus was shown in taking responsibility for understanding someone who was greatly misunderstood and resisted. We can only imagine what kind of fellowship that these two shared, but we know from later stories, this story starts and later stories show more, they had a deep bond of love and fellowship that made for a deep friendship. Made for a ministry team. Barnabas apparently threw opinion and caution aside and interceded for Saul with the Jerusalem church and the apostles. The Greek word here actually implies that he took him by the hand. It's kind of a literal thing. We can say, take my hand and let's go, and we don't necessarily hold hands. This seems to suggest it was a literal thing, as he took him by the hand, as he was willing to be led into the fellowship of the believers, and Barnabas was willing to be humble and obedient and direct and taking him to the fellowship and told them. Keep in mind, Saul had zero credibility with them, but Barnabas had huge believability, credibility. So Saul saying, well, I met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and I became a believer, and now I'm preaching him, and now I believe in him, and I'm really sorry for everything I've done. For somebody with this much credibility, you go, not buying it. But if somebody that you know to be the greatest encourager you've ever met, a strong believer filled with the Spirit, tells you that same story, you go, oh, I'm going to have to consider this. It's become much more believable coming from Barnabas than it ever would have been coming from Saul. He had a new conviction, new character, or what we usually say more briefly, new life in Christ. That's what our Lord wants to have happen among us who belong to the way. We cannot travel the way very far if we do not discover this essential element of being in Christ. Sometimes we are interceders, reconcilers, enablers of understanding between people who love Christ but find it difficult to tolerate or affirm or agree with each other. Here, the story of events in Acts again becomes very personal. And so it causes me to think and ask this question: between what persons do I need to be a Barnabas today or this week? Charlie's made very public that he has to be a Barnabas at work because it has been a huge personnel problem and he has responsibility there. But who else may have to be a reconciler? Who else among us may have to smooth over misunderstandings, interpersonal relationship difficulties? I don't know. Most of the time when I'm called to do that, I don't know in advance. So it's kind of like a general call to arms to just be ready, to just be on the lookout for when there's problems. It is your duty, responsibility, and calling to reconcile and repair and improve relationships. Can it be said that you're a healer of wounds in the open sores of conflict? A little thought may help us realize broken relationships between people we know. And I will tell you that sometimes it is very difficult to know what to do. I can tell you, well, I'm not going to get too personal, but I can tell you some damaged relationships in my own family. And so it's 7,000 miles away, and I don't know what I can do about problems in California from Guam. But I will tell you that I honestly watch for opportunities to make for peace and reconciliation when I go back to California once a year for a week or so. So be on guard, be on lookout. You can't fix everything, that's not what I said. You have to be ready to be a reconciler when you're called on. If we will continue to grow as Christians on the way of our Lord, we may not refuse to be reconcilers and healers of broken bonds. God will make it clear if you're the one who needs to do this. You might even say that there has never been a greater need for Barnabases in the world and in the Christian church. Think of your family. Think of others that you know or work with or deal with socially. Is there a call for you to be a Barnabas with someone you know? If so, we will need the spiritual gifts to do God's will in this or any ministry. I really believe Saul experienced something of God's greater gifts when he saw Barnabas in action. I think Barnabas was a very powerful tool to shape Saul into the person he would become when the first letter of his name changed. This fellow and his experience with Barnabas may have been on his mind when he later wrote, "Eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way." And you know what that tells us? We haven't mentioned it yet, but Barnabas knew how to love. Because that's what Paul later went on to write about love. Love is the way. No matter how spirit-filled or gifted we may or may become, if love is not spelled out through our being reconcilers, then we've gotten off track. We've gotten off the way and need to find our way back. Lloyd-John Ogilvie, in his commentary on this book, tells of a soccer game in Scotland. And two Scots were sitting near him. And they were, you've sat by people like this in sports events, they were self-appointed coaches. constantly shouting instructions to the players, constantly telling them how to do it and what to do and what not to do, shouting as loud as they thought needed to have the players be able to hear them. And then came the event when their favorite player, the star of the team, tripped over some of his own players. Somewhat prophetically, I think, at least Lord John Ogilvie thinks so, they yelled at him, "That's not the way, you're not on the way, you're in the way." Well, he took that, Dr. Ogilvie, to say, this sometimes applies to us as Christians. Sometimes we're not only not on the way, but we get in the way for others, an obstruction to those who are or would be with us on the way. There is so much we can learn from the example of Barnabas. We have to summarize a bit. He is mentioned first on the missionary team in Acts 13:1 and by the Lord himself in verse 2. As the missionary journey unfolds in that chapter later, then he's called Paul, apparently became the leader, as I told you. And Barnabas more in the background, the supporter, probably encouraging every step along the way. In verse 42 of that chapter later, we'll get to that, of course, they were leaving the worship time together, and in verse 46 they spoke together, it says, boldly. In Acts 14 they ministered together in Iconia, and then in Lystra and Derbe until in 14:14 we hear the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this. In Acts 15, we learn about what can be called the church's first synod, the council at Jerusalem. And then we find out that Paul and Barnabas together were in sharp dispute and debate with them. You see what a team they were? They were together. They were on the same page. They were on the same team, and they were working together. And then when some tried to teach circumcision and other Jewish customs were required, they opposed this as a team. Interesting that Barnabas led in the telling of stories of miraculous signs and wonders in that event, and he did so effectively that James decided the issue in their favor. Now, I know that seems kind of lackadaisical, but that's pretty impressive. As I said earlier, he had all kinds of credibility, and he used it effectively for the kingdom. Paul retells some of the story and adds details in Galatians 2, adding, and I quote, "By their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray." Now, I'm quoting the scripture, but I'm quoting it here and now to tell you that everything I've said so far might sound like Barnabas was perfect. And he wasn't. He was human like the rest of us. He sought to be obedient to God, but in this case, we learn in Acts 15 about this. Galatians 2 tells us that even Barnabas was led astray. He messed up. He got on the wrong path, although we may believe that he got back on the right path later. After the Jerusalem Council, Paul and Barnabas separated over John Mark. They had a disagreement. In fact, most of us call that a fight. And interesting as it turns out, Barnabas was apparently the more patient one and remained with his young cousin, John Mark, who is the fellow who wrote the book of Mark. Okay? And what we learn is that Paul was saying, "I don't want nothing to do with Mark. I don't want any. He's not ready. He's not compliant. He's just not ready. We can't take him along on our missionary journey. He's not ready for that kind of ministry." And Barnabas patiently led his young cousin into more maturity and obedience, and it certainly turned out fine because Barnabas's patience with John Mark resulted in the book of Mark, as I said. Their disagreement didn't last because later they were co-workers, we learn in 1 Corinthians 6:9, when he's talking about the rights of an apostle. Paul there emphasizes that he and Barnabas work to support themselves and argue that it is good to support those who minister in the Word of God. Barnabas is possibly the most complex example of what it means to live in the way of Jesus Christ. Not perfect, I've made that point enough, but neither was Paul or Peter or the other disciples. But speaking the word to whoever will listen, encouraging others, his hallmark characteristic, encouraging others, looking for the good when others are blinded by prejudice or fear, and simply doing what needs to be done for the kingdom of our Lord as he provides opportunity. This is why I dare say to you this morning, metaphorically speaking, be a Barnabas. Better, maybe, be like Barnabas. Do those kinds of things that Barnabas did. Watch for opportunities to serve. Be a Barnabas as you live and travel on the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a successful way through life and death and to heaven and eternal life with God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you again for your word. And today we especially thank you for the wonderful example of Barnabas. Such a wonderful, powerful example of many good things that you call us to do and to be. Lord, we ask that you'll help us to be encouraging. If we're not good at it, help us to improve. Help us to be reconcilers. Help us to notice when things go wrong, and help us to watch for opportunities to help make things right. Lord, you've called us to make all things new and all things right. And we can't do that all at once, but help us to become better at it. Help us to be like Barnabas in bringing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.